the same organizations that participated during the 2009 campaign. And they are listed in the ordinance before you. I wanted to report that last year, 592 city employees participated and raised over $268,000 for the member organizations. That's an increase of about 14% in terms of dollars raised and an increase of about 4% in terms of city employee participation. We work with the volunteer representatives from each of the bureaus in terms of coordinating outreach efforts. The kickoff for this year's campaign is Wednesday, October 7th, and it will run for about 2 weeks. Let's see what else. Wanted to let you know that each of the organizations has assured the city that a letter of acknowledgement will, in fact, be sent to donors, as long as the donors provide their name and address on the there's a form that each of the city employees will fill out for the payroll deduction. And as long as their name is provided there, they'll receive an acknowledgement. And also as a reminder that there is no cost to the employee for the payroll deduction. There is no charge for that.
I recall that I think it was Commissioner Saltzman requested that they provide letters indicating the full amount of their donation for tax purposes. That's happening again?
That we have been in contact with the organizations, and they have assured us that it is.
I got mine.
I don't think it's consistent, but it's gotten better.
Okay. So
what was the percentage of employee participation again?
I didn't do the calculation in terms of per city, but it's 592 employees participated last year.
Oh, okay. I thought you said there was a certain.
There was an increase from the previous year of 4%.
Okay. About 11%.
I just have one question. When you initially opt in and designate your mix, do you have to, on an annual basis, re-up, or is there just a process for opting out?
It's just a one calendar year commitment. So each year.
You have to reapply?
Yes.
And by the way, just for what it's worth, I did not get any statement on my contributions last calendar year.
Okay. That is good for us to know.
In fact, I completely forgot about that now that I'm thinking about my taxes.
Dang.
Well, we'll certainly mention to the organizations, again, the umbrella organizations had assured us that they had been speaking to their member organizations.
So that should be an eligibility requirement for being part of it next year. If they don't.
I think I tried that last year. I think that was my amendment last year.
Oh, really?
Did you keep? I've given up. It's just not going to happen. But just save your year-end pay stub. That has all your deductions for tax purposes.
Well, I think this is a reasonable thing for you and the member of the council should expect. So I would ask that you get verification in writing from each of these organizations that they have provided so that when we do get a complaint that it didn't happen, we've got something that says, no, actually, it did happen.
It does seem like that's a reasonable thing. By way of getting the contribution that they would acknowledge after a receipt.
And that if happens again next year, that organization wouldn't be eligible for a year?
Correct.
Well, I think we need to be a little careful about that. I don't want to be black and white. There might be justifications. I don't want to hurt a whole bunch of helpless people because somebody for some reason forgot. But I certainly would like to have something in place that would address. Now we've heard two council people say they've given contributions, they haven't gotten receipts. It doesn't make sense to me.
And I guess the modification I would just make is it has gotten better, but they don't arrive in a tax timely manner. Like I get acknowledgments in August for, you know, it's too late then. I've already.
Certainly.
But, you know, I've caught it in my year-end pay stub anyway. So that's.
So let me see if the legislative intent here is. You need to let them know they need to do this to maintain their eligibility. If we find that they're not doing it in a timely way, then we have something to something to back us up, and that at a minimum they be given a warning, and if it becomes chronic, council can decide to drop them from the list.
Mayor, I'm Judy Tuttle with the Office of Management and Finance. I wonder if I just might interject what the issue may be, and we can do some investigation on this, but we deal with the umbrella organizations. Each of those umbrella organizations have sometimes dozens of smaller and individual smaller groups that the members of the city employees can choose those smaller organizations. So it appears to be a question of oversight of the umbrella organization down to those member groups.
So Judy, excuse me for interrupting, but if you designate a particular group to get your money, does it still go through the umbrella organization?
It does not go through the umbrella organization. It is deducted and goes directly to those member organizations. So there is a level of oversight from the umbrella organization that I think we can attempt through the umbrella organizations, or perhaps make a request that they drop that member organization if we find that they have not been responsive.
Have we been contacting the sub-organization or just the umbrella organization?
Just the umbrella organizations. So
you know, if Judy, if we send out a notice to the organizations that get our money, I think we'd see some improvement in getting the notification back.
Or working through the umbrella organizations with their member organizations on our behalf.
Maybe it should be a system that's simpler so that even if you designate an organization, it first goes through the umbrella organization and that they, UGN, for an example, is required to provide the receipt.
Commissioner?
I was just going to say that because United Way of Columbia Willamette's on our list, and my guess is they have a lot of expertise in dealing with just this question, with employee giving in different ways, going to different organizations, and then doing the acknowledgments, that they may have some guidance for us.
Yeah.
But at least with the groups that I've designated, I can't think of a single reason why I wouldn't get a year-end letter, just like any other donor, and they have until the end of the year, the calendar year, plus a couple of months. And furthermore, I would say even beyond the tax reasons why you should do this and maybe even the legal reasons, if I get a thank you note acknowledging the contribution, I'm probably more likely to re-up. I mean, just human nature being what it is. So
you've gotten our best ideas. I think the general request here is that we get more tax receipts and thank yous back to our employees so we can get more money to more organizations or the same organizations.
And so we'll certainly work with our umbrella organizations to make those desires known and work with them to see what can be done.
Has anyone signed up to testify in 1285?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anyone wish to testify in 1285? This is an emergency ordinance. Unless there's additional council discussion, please call the roll on emergency ordinance 1285.
You're pissed off.
I should have.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
This is really good work and the great organizations. I'm going to say it again. It's very impressive that over $250,000 in donations from city employees through this program. And although there's nearly 600 employees who give through the program, obviously there's going to be more who are giving directly to the organizations. And so city staff give to the community in many different ways, and we greatly appreciate your work on this. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Thank you very much for your ongoing work on this. We'll keep working at it. Aye. 1285 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, council calendar number 1286?
Amend intergovernmental agreement between State of Oregon, Department of Transportation for Transportation Enhancement Program grant for Union Station Restoration Phase 2.
Good morning. Thanks for your patience. What are we looking at here?
Hello, Mayor Adams, City Council members. My name is Jim Coker with the Office of Management Finance. This ordinance amends an existing agreement between the City of Portland and the Oregon Department of Transportation to fund additional historic roof replacement work at Union Station in the amount of $806,000. Funds for this amendment are from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and they are 100% grant funds.
Questions from Council? Does anyone wish to testify on emergency ordinance 1286? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
This is another example of the mayor leading the efforts to get as much stimulus money as possible and to make this project, which we were planning to do, even better by accepting over $800,000 in federal funds. Good job. Aye.
Thank you.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for those kind comments. I want to pass them on to Kimberly Schneider in my office and the OMF team and everyone in the bureaus. Appreciate it. Aye. 1286 is approved. Can you please read the title for second reading, 1287?
Authorized financing for local improvement projects.
Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1287 is approved. Can you please read the title for purchasing report 1288?
Authorized price agreements for diesel emission retrofit devices and installation to Cummins Northwest LLC and the Pape Group, Inc.
Good morning. Welcome back to the City Council. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you.
What are we looking at today?
This is coming from the Portland Multnomah Sustainable Development Commission. It was recommended that the city and county take steps to address diesel particulate emissions by retrofitting our own city and county fleets. And in June, there were 8 responses were received to the diesel emission retrofit devices request for proposal. Cummins Northwest received the highest score for Category 1, which is diesel oxidation catalyst, and Category 2, flow-through filter. And the PAPE group received the highest score for Category 3, diesel particulate filter. And you have in front of you the purchasing agent report recommending an award to Cummins Northwest for $700,000 per year and a contract to the PAPE group in the amount of $1,300,000 per year. And these contracts will be renewed annually as funding becomes available. And all of this is being paid for by EPA grants, one of which is an ARRA grant. So, and also Michelle Krim is here from BPS if she needs to answer any of the technical questions about the project.
Council discussion.
Question.
Commissioner Fritz.
So it's $2 million that we just accepted on the consent agenda. Again, good job, Mayor Adams. So then that's divided into the $700,000 and the $1,300.
Yes.
That's per year. Are we expecting, is this grant expected to be renewed every year for 5 years?
Those grants are for the specific $2 million. It's also my understanding that BPS intends to go after additional grants. So what this is this is a price agreement. So we only order as we have funding. So we have an agreement in place for 5 years as funding becomes available.
So are we locking in the price at this year's price for the next 4 years if we have more money?
We're locking in for 1 year, and then there's an option to do cost of living increases every year when we renew annually.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other council discussion? Thank you very much. This is a purchasing report. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
No. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the roll on council approval of the purchasing report, council calendar item 1288?
Saltzman?
Well, I really appreciate that the city is doing these diesel retrofits and the fact that we received an EPA grant for that. I want to specifically acknowledge Michelle Krim of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and also Amy True of my office, who personally was very involved in helping to write this grant and successful EPA grant. It's going to make our environment, our breathing environment, much better. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
This, again, is really good work. Good work, Commissioner Saltzman. Thank you for addressing this environmental issue and getting more federal money. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Thanks to the BPS team, to Commissioner Saltzman and Amy for doing great work on this. Aye. Purchasing Report 1288 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance, Council Calendar Item 1289?
Designate a sewer easement in property owned by the city and a designated public right-of-way known as Tom McCall Waterfront Park and assigned to the Bureau of Environmental Services.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Our Ankeny Pump Station is located next to the new location of the Portland Saturday Market. And as such, we are constructing an odor treatment system for the Ankeny Pump Station. We need some easements from Parks in order to do that, and Parks is in full support of this.
Is there any discussion from Council? Does anyone wish us to testify on Emergency Ordinance 1289? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
1289 is approved. Aye. Can you please read report from the City Auditor, Council Calendar Item 1290?
Transmit results of recent city audit work by the Audit Services Division, Office of the City Auditor.
Auditor, we're glad to see you here.
Good morning. It's always really nice to be the last on a very long agenda. I'm very glad to be here. My name is LaVon Griffin-Vlade. I'm the City Auditor. And for the benefit of folks listening and watching at home, I want to mention that the elected city auditor oversees a number of functions that fit within the umbrella of good government and accountability. These include our council clerk and contracts office, archives and records, assessments, finance and foreclosure, the hearings office, the ombudsman's office, the independent police review division, and audit services division. And I'm here today to brief you on three new reports from the audit services division. I'm joined at the table by Drummond Kahn, who is the director of audit services. I would like to thank the auditors who worked on these reports and who are also here to answer any in-depth questions you may have, Alexandra Furchak, Ken Gavett, and Jennifer Scott. And finally, I'd also like to express my appreciation to the bureaus and city staff participating in these audits. Their assistance and cooperation throughout the reviews has been invaluable. So the first report I'm going to talk about was issued on August 27th. It's Clean Air, City Enforces Parking Laws to Improve Air Quality. And now our objective in this audit was to determine whether the city enforces vehicle registration laws. Since most Portland area vehicles must pass emissions tests to be registered, enforcement of unregistered vehicles can directly reduce the number of polluting vehicles on city streets. After the Federal Clean Air Act passed in 1990, areas with high levels of air pollution, and in Oregon, that's the Medford area and the Portland metropolitan area, were required to implement mitigation programs. And in Oregon, this program is operated by the Department of Environmental Quality. And just to let you give you a little background, the DEQ reports that in the early 1970s, downtown Portland violated the National Carbon Monoxide Health Standard, an average of once every 3 days. However, since 1985, there have been no violations. The DEQ also reports that vehicles that fail emissions tests produce an average of up to 4 times the amount of pollution than those vehicles that do pass the emissions tests. So our audit found that code enforcement officers are consistently enforcing vehicle registration laws. The number of citations has remained stable over time. 74% of the citations for registration violations are handed out in cases where vehicles were otherwise parked legally. And what this means is that enforcement officers are proactive in checking for those vehicles. And these kinds of violations are the second most frequent parking citations issued in 2008 out of the 91 different types of citations. However, the fine for vehicle parking violation is so low as to produce little incentive to register vehicles or repair vehicles so that they can pass the DEQ emissions test. Failure to display current registration is a $40 fine. Expired registration is a $35 fine. This is lower than average when compared to 6 comparable jurisdictions. The 2009 legislature increased the 2-year vehicle registration fee that applies to older cars from $54 to $86, meaning that it costs considerably less to pay the fine than to register the vehicle, and particularly when you consider that registration of the vehicle is the registration fee, insurance is a requirement, and likely repair costs if the vehicle does not pass. So the state circuit court here in Multnomah County sets the fine and is currently working with the city to review the parking fine violation. And so to more effectively motivate compliance, our audit recommends the city and circuit court consider increasing that fine. So any questions about that particular report?
Just one. I've noticed increasing frequency of cars on the road that I don't think could possibly meet a DEQ test. And part of it is, you know, just the belching smoke and things.
Right.
But one of the problems is you see a lot of out-of-state licenses. We can't enforce it, right? We don't enforce as against not having, or do we? Do we have any jurisdiction if you're regularly commuting, parking on the street, and you don't have the state of your domicile's
not here.
Certification?
Well, the cars are required, I believe it's within 30 days under state law, to register as Oregon vehicles if they move here.
That's more honored in the breach than the observance, I can
correct,
tell you.
Correct, correct. Now, the parking enforcement officers, though, can and do cite expired out-of-state cars, meaning if you have a plate from another state that's expired, they cite it the same way they would an expired Portland plate. Now, you could have a vehicle with Oregon plates that's not from a clean air area, not from Portland or Medford, and it could be a polluting vehicle and yet not be cited because its registration is current. So the registration link is only to vehicles registered with addresses in the clean air areas that are around Portland and Medford. But there are DMV and state rules on registering once folks move to the state, and then if they're in that area, they would have to pass DEQ.
Well, it is striking reading your report that if you get nabbed, not that any of us would do it, but going through a yellow light, and you get the ticket would be greater, substantially greater, than not having your car inspected, which seems to me to make no sense.
We agree.
You have a proposed, have you recommended a level?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the folks in the Transportation Bureau are working really closely with Circuit Court, and so.
By the way, I bet you there are some cities that just boot those cars. I bet you that's one way they get the whole thing complied with.
Well, that would be Medford, I think, other than us, in terms of the emission standards anyway.
But one has to be careful. There are exemptions,
yes,
as we discussed. There are, yes, diesel exemptions. So right, what appears to be a car that may in violation may in fact not be. So I would caution against overreacting and putting boots on cars until we know precisely what we're doing.
Good reminder. Any other questions on that particular report? Okay. You're very patient. I appreciate that. Okay, the second report we issued this morning, it's called Fraud Reporting Clarification of Process and Training Needed. The purpose of this audit was to examine the policies and processes for reporting suspected fraud, waste, and abuse. Most city workers are ethical and honest and take their commitment to the public very seriously. We know this. The city has had few known cases of such wrongdoing. However, there have been a number of frauds reported in other jurisdictions around the region over the last few years, and including a couple of weeks ago, a former state worker was found to have absconded with thousands of dollars. So that's a reminder that Portland is not immune. As an aside, the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners recently surveyed their membership regarding the largest single fraud case they had seen between 2006 and 2008. And 18% of the nearly 1,000 cases examined occurred in government agencies with a median loss of about $100,000. 43% of all cases were uncovered through a tip, mostly from employees. Our audit found that although there is guidance for city employees on ethical behavior, the city lacks a mechanism for anonymous reporting of fraud. Employees are not provided comprehensive ethics or fraud training. City offices receive reports do not consistently share information, and the reason for this is because guidance about where to report is inconsistent, and supervisors are not trained to handle reports of wrongdoing. So these problems create a real risk for the city that fraud and other misbehavior will not be reported, reviewed, or referred appropriately and consistently. Such misconduct jeopardizes public trust and confidence in government oversight. The city needs to take proactive measures to prevent and detect inappropriate or illegal activities and to send a strong message that such behavior is not tolerated. Management is responsible for prevention and detection by setting the tone at the top, communicating and enforcing expectations for employees and for themselves, and by building a culture of honest and ethical conduct. Our recommendations in this audit are threefold. One is to develop clear and consistent guidance about reporting fraud. The second is to design and offer ethics and fraud training. And the third is to create a centralized, anonymous mechanism to receive, investigate, and triage reports. This improves efforts to prevent and detect fraud and helps to identify risks. So my own office is in the process of establishing a 24/7 phone and online tip line to allow employees and the public to report anonymously if they choose. It's an inexpensive mechanism that sends a message, that helps send the message about expected behaviors and allows the city to comply with whistleblower provisions of the Federal American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
Yvonne, I have two questions. You say we should update our administrative rules and code of ethics to ensure consistency with state ethics rules. Have you referred that to the city attorney's office for them to undertake that project?
Well, I think we are participating in that as well.
That seems like a no-brainer. Just
that, it is.
If there's
it
any
is
inconsistency. And
there is.
And so is that underway?
Yes, it
okay
is.
And secondly, where it says design and offer ethics and fraud training for city officials and presumably their bureaus, who would be the entity that would provide that training?
Well, I think that we'll be very involved in that as well as HR and probably the city attorney's office as well. And so there's kind of a theme going on here to roll out our 24/7 tip line as well as beef up the fraud policies and processes. And I've pretty much taken the lead on that with the help of the Audit Services Division and also the Ombudsman's Office.
So you will be, the Auditor's Office is taking the lead and will be the home of the 24/7
yes
tip line?
Yes, that will be administered by the Ombudsman's Office. And we are very close to determining a vendor for that. And hopefully we'll do rollout in October, although I think that I'm being a little optimistic about that. But that's my goal, is to roll out in October.
Any other discussion from council?
One more, sorry. So the third report will be released tomorrow, and the title of it is Federal Stimulus. Portland is well positioned to receive funds and requirements. As of August 2009, the city had received or had been awarded $21 million in American Recovery and Reinvestment Act dollars and expects to receive a total of $58 million. This is the first in a series of audits of stimulus projects, both the local and the federal projects. We are conducting these because programs of this magnitude are inherently risky, particularly given the large sums of money that are expected to be spent very quickly. We have concerns about managing projects efficiently and effectively, about fraud, waste, and abuse, and about errors that go undetected. So internal controls, and not to sound too much like an auditor, but internal controls serve as the first line of defense. To be effective, the city should have most of its internal controls and data systems in place before the October deadline. So the timing of this audit is significant as the first reporting date approaches. While this report looks primarily at internal controls, subsequent reports will examine how the money is being spent and whether the internal controls are working the way they were intended. In general, we found in this audit that the city has made good progress in preparing to receive federal stimulus funds and to meet the numerous requirements set forth in the legislation and in subsequent rules and executive orders. So while there still is work to be done on improving bureau status reports, finalizing project status reporting system, and implementing a fraud reporting system, city staff are aware of these critical issues and are taking steps to resolve them. In fact, since the report was finalized just last week, progress has been made on these issues, and additional details are clarified in the response letter that will be contained in the report. And for our part, the City Auditor's Office is very pleased to take a lead role in developing and implementing a fraud reporting system and anonymous tip line. So I'd like to conclude by noting that the reports that we anticipate releasing over the next few months, one is an audit of the Fire Bureau response times, another is our annual community survey, another is a review over controls, a review of controls over narcotics used for training purposes by the Police Bureau. Then, of course, our annual Service Efforts and Accomplishments Report, and this year is focusing on Public Safety and Infrastructure Bureaus, and then an audit of the effectiveness of the Bureau of Purchases Sheltered Market Program. And we also, as you may be aware, have started an audit of the Police Bureau's use of tasers. So that's the end of my little presentation, and any questions about the audit that's being released tomorrow or any other questions?
So what's the headline in the newspaper tomorrow?
The city doing a good job preparing for the federal stimulus dollars?
Sure.
But I know others have mentioned this inside the city council and elsewhere. We really appreciate the fact that you have hit the ground running and just producing work that helps us do a better job as a legislative body and also as commissioners in charge of bureaus. So thank you.
You are so welcome. Good job.
Thanks.
This is a report, requires no action.
Excellent.
Can you please, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, council calendar item 1291?
Clarify declaration of intent to seek certification for campaign finance fund.
You look so familiar.
Hi.
Hi.
City Auditor LaVon Griffin-Blade. Here with me is Andrew Carlstrom, the elections officer. And the purpose of this ordinance is to clarify the city code for the declaration of intent to seek certification. This minor amendment makes the declaration of intent consistent with other sections of City Code 2.10 and does not change any campaign finance fund requirement that council has already discussed and approved. The qualifying period starts tomorrow, the period in which candidates may collect $5 qualifying contributions after filing a declaration of intent to seek certification. And this is why the ordinance was filed with an emergency clause, is because the period starts tomorrow. So any questions for me or for Andrew?
All right.
I normally follow Commissioner Fritz's lead on this.
Are there any discussion from council?
I just want to thank Andrew Carlstrom and LaVon Griffin-Vallade for finding and fixing this error before the qualifying period starts. It's a minor detail, and it makes a difference, and thank you for making it right.
Andrew is the person to be thanked for that.
Great. All right. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, it's exciting to hear that the next qualifying phase starts tomorrow, and I am so glad that I do not have to start collecting $5 donations tomorrow. And I'm also very grateful for having been elected using public campaign financing. So thank you for all the work on this program. Aye.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Thank you. We are adjourned until 1291 is approved. We're adjourned until 2:30. Thanks. We got to kind of deal with.
Yes.